during mobile devices, 10:30. Yeah, we're going to go a little early here. I don't know if we're live yet. I think we're live now. Hi, everybody. It's 10:23. I know I said 10:30, but the fire was getting, it was really hitting a nice crescendo here. Beautiful day, a little toasty outside with the fire. And I hope you're all good. Let's see, morning. I don't know, Benjamin V. I'm not Owen Benjamin. Version 3 on YouTube is back in action. Thank you, Papa J. Bear. All right. So we are honored today. Oh, and also, don't forget to subscribe to unauthorized.tv. Subscribe here. Unbearablesmerchandise.com. We have some new tees and stuff like that. But it's a gorgeous, crisp day. So we fired up the fire. To be the goat. We'll be checked out by the vet today to see if she can join the herd. But I think she's looking good. She just nibbled my finger. It was pretty funny. But we are joined today with a guy that in a very short amount of time I've become such a fan of. He's the Sage of Quay, Mike Williams. I got into him because of the Paul is Dead phenomenon. And having spent an evening with alleged Paul McCartney. And we'll talk about it when I bring him on. But then I started listening to a bunch of his other videos, and I was just talking to him before this started today about how I didn't wake up to a lot of conspiracies and hoaxes and stuff until only a few years ago. So I had to go back and catch up on some of the old ones, and in doing so, I just really I'm just going to bring him on. All right. Here's Mike Williams, ladies and gentlemen. One second. Remind me later. Boom. Yeah, is this working? Now it's a white screen. Sorry, Mike. One second,
no
buddy.
No problem, Owen.
There you are. All right, you're live.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
So I just want to give you a compliment first off. One of my favorite things about you is your calm demeanor, because when I was working in the entertainment business, I was always known as the guy who could get along with everybody. Like, I used to open for Julio Iglesias because my agents would be like, oh, Owen will get along with literally anyone. And then I found, you know, in the internet culture, the trolls and the ankle biters and the just the evil slime of it can really get you down. And it's put me in positions of like drama and craziness and stuff. And you, even though you've poked some pretty serious hives, like especially with Paul McCartney, you always seem to have a very cool and respectful demeanor about everything. And I've legitimately learned from you with that, and it's been extremely helpful. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, Owen. The thing with the trolls and the haters and all that stuff is you have to keep in mind that they are a very, very small segment of the population. They're very loud and they're noisy.
Yeah.
But if you take in how many people actually enjoy the work that you're doing or write to you and say they're learning from the work that you're doing, their numbers are overwhelmingly more powerful than, you know, the very small number of people that want to cause trouble. So that's how I stay even keel about it, realizing that the number of people that are really interested, the good people, far outnumber the knuckleheads.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. And we're having an issue with seeing you on here. So if anyone wants to see Mike's handsome face, you can just Google him and then just imagine it in your mind. But we have his audio, which is the most important thing. Yeah, it really is just a tiny, tiny group. And I'll get handwritten letters to my P.O. box and stuff. People are making, like, someone made this for me yesterday. And I almost threw in the towel with the chat and doing things live and being so interactive with people. And then I realized through the help of good people like you and just a lot of the good bears out there that it's important for people and they get a lot out of it. And the tiny minority of psychopaths just shouldn't be able to poison the well, and it's our responsibility to just not pay attention to it. Because me and you were both from a time before the internet where men didn't act like this around each other. Like, you didn't look at someone's eye and be like, kill yourself. And I just wasn't equipped with it, you know.
Yeah. Like I said, the thing is, it's just to set them aside because they're always going to be there. It is an element of our society that has been nurtured, Owen, right? Everybody has a voice. Everybody should have an opinion. Everybody should speak their mind. Unfortunately, there are people out there that really should be quiet. And, really, I mean, honestly, they should keep to themselves until they get themselves up to speed. But, you know, the way things run today with social media, you're going to bump up against this. And my way of dealing with it is ignoring it and moving forward with all the good people. Like I said, their numbers far outweigh the small percentage of people that want to cause trouble.
Yeah, and I think people like us are in a false construct of how, about how so many people are asleep, because that's the frame that they're giving us in social media. Like, I've been kicked off everything. So I imagine that a lot of people like me have also been kicked off everything. So they have this Hall of Mirrors machine that only highlight what, like, this despair vision of reality where everybody is just all about vaccines and global warming and, you know, giving up guns and all. And in reality, I think a lot more people are good and awake and trying for a better life, and they realize some of these lies that are drowning us, and we just don't get to see it. And I think we have to, like, trust in our fellow man, you know?
Well, that's controlling the media. That's what it does. It takes the minority, a small minority, and presents it as the majority. And then what happens is the average person who can process and think through and critically think, if they watch too much of the television, the hypnosis box, then they will start to doubt themselves. And that self-doubt comes in, and then there's self-censorship. Oh, I can't say certain things because somebody might be offended. You know, and that's how they do it. But if everybody just stands their ground and just be you, be an individual, don't be rude, be kind to others. But if you have a voice and you have something to say and it's coming from a base of knowledge, stand your ground. And that's what I always tell people. I won't relent. I won't relinquish my ground because I know what they're doing, Owen. You're absolutely correct. They're trying to turn the tables. I mean, they don't have the numbers on their side, but they do have the media.
Exactly. And that's what I've found so great about you is, you know, you work 30 years in the corporate world, you make guitars, you're a musician, you do hypnotherapy. Like, you're a strong, intelligent man, and you didn't let the shame mob get to you, because how they operate is they force this shame and this compliance fear on people. And the more scared they are, and the more, we call it in our little community here, we call it spiraling. Don't spiral all the time. You know, when you act like a prey animal, you're always fleeing and running. And at that point, they just have some Kellogg cereal. Have it, you know, they, when you're scared, they can guide you anywhere they want. It's almost like hot metal for a blacksmith. And so I've enjoyed watching you just be able to calmly discuss, you know, how you don't always get along with family members about these topics and how people have these reactions and how you just keep going. And I think proof of life of just being able to keep going is really good for people.
Yeah, no, you have to keep going. And like I said, stand your ground. What the controllers want, Owen, and you know this, is they want people in survival mode. Because when you're trying to figure out how to survive, how to keep your nose just above the waterline, then you're distracted from the process of critically thinking. They don't want you to thrive. And so that's why they present all of this doom and gloom. They try to wallpaper everything with, hey, you're in the minority. You're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. What do you mean that, you know, you're questioning vaccines? The science is done. Right? How many times have we heard that, right?
The science is done, which is a fundamental contradiction of what the scientific method means.
Exactly.
But see, that's what I'm starting to, let's just talk about this for a second. Then we'll get into the Paul conspiracy, because it's fascinating, because it, you know, it touches on everything. You know, you touch the spider web and the whole thing moves. But the how much good is happening right now? Like, for example, the Epstein thing, they no longer can say conspiracy theorists, because then you just say, do you think he killed himself in jail? And it's like, no. It's like, well, then you're a conspiracy theorist. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it doesn't work anymore, I don't think.
No, I think there's an overall elevation in awareness. I don't want to say that the awakening is happening at an exponential rate, but there is an awakening. But I do think there's more of an awareness. In other words, what I mean by that, Owen, is The average person sitting down in their living room watching television is watching what's going on. Let's just pick on politics and Trump and all that stuff and Iran and Iraq.
Yeah.
And what happens after a while is even the average person who never thought in terms of conspiracies is looking at that and saying, this is just not right.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, the go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, it's like you're watching a cartoon. Well, you're in a comic book.
Well, I think Frank Zappa said it, politics is the entertainment wing of the military-industrial complex, and I feel it's jumped the shark. As a former TV writer, there's elements of script writing where you get to a point when Fonzie had to jump a shark with his motorcycle, and you're getting close to being canceled. Where it's like, you know, politics is the entertainment wing of military, where it's red team, blue team. And I've fallen for this trap a million times, but at this point, I'm just watching it like no one can emotionally commit to this. It's like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Like, now that we know they never really get married and have kids, like, does anyone watch The Bachelor and be like, ah, you know?
Right, right. It's the same script run over and over and over again. I put a video up that I actually found going back about 6 or 7 years ago, and it was 30 years of Iran is going to have the bomb.
Right, right, right. I love those. Yeah.
Okay. And so I reran it about a week ago. I put it up on my blog and put it up on my social media just to remind people that whenever they start cranking up this Iran stuff or North Korea, this is not new. If people would just take a step back and just reflect, just recent history, going back a few years, maybe 5-7 years ago, you'll realize that it is the same exact script being played over and over and over again.
Yeah, and I think that's what finally got me kicked off YouTube, because I was up over 100 million views, and a lot of it was stand-up comedy and normal stuff. And, you know, I would get a strike here or there for making fun of a protected class. But when I started doing videos on the nature of fear and, like, Time magazine covers and how 9/11 went down, kind of like The Princess Bride, where you have Israel, which is a, when I found you, you were this colossus. And then America's the giant. I'm just trying to make you happy. You know, like I was showing all the metaphors, because Princess Bride is all about starting a false flag. The whole movie is false flag. And then this will segue into the Paul is Dead thing, because the Dread Pirate Roberts is a construct. One guy's playing Dread Pirate Roberts and another guy's playing Dread Pirate Roberts. So I'm breaking all this down in a way that people can actually see, where I would show the Time magazine covers and how nothing ever happened. And I would do stand up about how the difference between the Gen X fears and the millennial fears, where the Gen X fears were, you know, quicksand, the Bermuda Triangle and Bigfoot. And then millennial was like AIDS, acid rain, you know. And I was like, I was born right in between those, so I always thought I was going to get AIDS from Bigfoot after I got stuck in quicksand, you know, just making a mockery of it. And then when you show that none of it comes true and the whole thing is just to keep guiding the herd, it's fascinating. And so, but, and the reason that hoax busting people like yourself, myself, Dave Weiss, Quantum of Conscience, Crow, is important is here's just a quick thing here that Coddington tweeted out today from at Owen Comedy on Twitter, because mine was banned for making fun of David Hogg. But it says, the world's oceans are now heating at the same rate as if 5 Hiroshima atomic bombs were dropped in the water every second, scientists have said. So he retweeted that and said, so then not at all then. Because when you've uncovered the nuclear bomb hoax and a lot of these hoaxes, you realize a lot of times the news isn't even lying. They're operating, they're assuming that the public is operating under false presumptions and bad information, so they don't get that Freemasonic karma kickback. Like, they're playing just such a silly game. But it's like, when you break down Hiroshima and what really happened and the nuclear bomb hoax and all that stuff, it doesn't scare you anymore. And when NASA says, like, an asteroid almost just hit you in the balls, you're like, no, it didn't, you know. And it gives you that peace and stillness that this spinning ball, asteroid, nuclear, you know, Ebola world is trying to keep from you. You know, stillness, like when you're making a guitar, when I'm playing classical music or feeding my goats or whatever, they want to take that from you so you can't just think, because human beings would never fall for any of this nonsense.
Right. They want to steal your imagination and your creativity. They want you to be in a state of paralysis. Oh, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why they continue to bombard us with all kinds of nonsense. And you're absolutely right, because people have asked me, they said, hey, Mike, with all the stuff that you get into, I mean, doesn't it create consternation? Doesn't it, you know, create fear? Don't you get anxious and all of this stuff? And I said, no, to the contrary. Once you understand the truth and you realize all of this stuff is bullshit and you're lying to us, there's a calm that comes over you, because you know you're not going to be struck by an asteroid.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah, and you know that the gulag is self, it's all financial, because you were in the financial world and stuff. It's like they turn the levers so it's hard to make money, or, you know, you're not invited to cocktail parties. It's so subtle. Like this whole gulag, you know, kicking in your door and all that stuff, those are all created in a Hollywood set. And
right.
I used to be a part of it. And in your mind, it's children being dragged from parents and furnaces and all. In reality, it's so subtle. It's just these little dials. And, you know, a lot of military will tell you that there's actually three results from trauma, not two. They always say fight or flight, but it's fight, flight, or freeze. And I'm starting to realize why they left out the third one, because that's what they're intending on doing to us all the time, making us comfortably numb.
Yep, yep. And you're right about it being very subtle. So as an example of that would be the stock market, right? So they get people to invest in the stock market, and the numbers go up and people get really excited and they have their 401ks invested in the stock market. And then what they do is they burst the bubble and they bring everybody down again, And then everybody's got to build up again. And then 10 years later, they burst that bubble again and everybody starts all over again. That's what people have to understand. The system is rigged. It's completely rigged.
Yeah, exactly. And we are the stock.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like I've gotten to a point, I know a lot of us have, where we're just like, yeah, we don't want to play anymore. Because you don't end up in jail when you do that. You don't end up in this underworld that we see some people are. Those people try and fight the beast where they're like, well, I'm going to storm in there and I'm going to have a gun. And I'm like, no, you lose at that point. The only way to beat this is to simply be in the world but not of it, as Jesus said, you know, where it's like, I'm not investing my emotions anymore into your dumb little games. I'm not going to watch your pornos. I'm not going to watch your news. And I'm just going to, like, you're going to make a guitar and do some sweet videos, and we're about to talk about Paul McCartney, and I'm just going to, because the beast doesn't awaken at that point. You're allowed, there's like these weird karmic allowances that when people stop being scared, they can understand, like, you're allowed to thrive. You're just not allowed to take it head on. And so we'll see truthers end up in these jail or lawsuits and all this stuff. It's because, you know, you find out about like Zionist banking and stuff and you lose the path because you're not just out to expose it and say, oh, money doesn't really matter that much. You want to be the bank. And at that point, you're going to get crushed, you know?
That's right. So what you have to do is you have to pick your battles when you're in this matrix. And the biggest thing that anybody can do to unshackle to a large degree is to get out from underneath their debt machine.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, so once you can minimize your debt, you're going to have a lot of freedom to do a lot of things that otherwise that you were not going to do because you had to pay the bills or pay your mortgage or your car loans and all that stuff. So people get into that stuff. Get out from under the debt, unplug your TV. Now, we do have to exist in the matrix, right?
Yep.
So there's certain things. When I say pick and choose your battles, as an example, there's taxes.
Right.
Now, you can try to take them head on and hand-to-hand combat and wrestle with them over paying property taxes or whatever type of tax it is. You're going to lose that because you're in their system.
Yep.
Right? So if you think you're going to lock horns with them, they're going to take you down. So there's certain things you just have to accept that you're going to have to do, right? Because it's just the way the system works. Being defiant is only going to create more problems for yourself and your family.
Exactly.
But there are other things that you don't have to engage in that there are no penalties for. And one of those things, like I said, is get out from underneath the debt and you're going to have a much better life.
Oh, 100%. And that is how they control you. Food, chemicals is how they control you, and Hollywood and media. And if you unplug from all that, which you have every right to do, you can have a much better life. You know, grow some of your food, like support your local farmers, stuff like that. Be around your kids. You know, go with a little less so your wife can be home with the kids. Like, these things are all doable. You know, we have this construct that, like, every house has to be huge and two cars in the garage and stuff. It's like, you know, I know in your day growing up on, I think you're from Long Island and I'm from upstate New York. And, you know, I know we're a little different in age, but not really when you're dealing with the internet. You know, I think we have a lot of similarities. It's like a lot of people only had one car and didn't have that much stuff. You know, it's like we didn't have a VCR until we didn't have a color TV or a VCR until I was in like first or second grade. It's like these things are all new. And so I think I get a lot of letters now at a P.O. box because YouTube banned me. And it's kind of calming where you're like, oh, this is how things just were like 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. When I was growing up, the phone was on the wall. You know, that was it. You didn't carry it around with you.
Yeah.
And that's right. That's one of the other things they want. They want you to be in a perpetual state of being responsive. And if you don't respond to somebody's text or somebody's phone call or somebody's email right away, somehow you're lacking in social grace or something to that effect. Right. Well, the truth of the matter is, go live your life and don't worry about the texts and the phone calls and the emails. You'll get to them when you get to them. So unfortunately, though, Owen, there's a generation out there that doesn't know what we know or saw, what we had seen going back, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. But maybe for those of us that were around, like you and I, we can continue to help the younger generation to understand that it's more than just being plugged into technology all the time.
Yeah, and the good news is a lot of the younger people are absolutely seeing it, and they're getting into trades. They're not going to college and getting into debt. You know, a lot of the dudes on this channel will like buy a little piece of land, throw a yurt on there, start gardening. It's actually a very beautiful time because the lie requires there to be the payoff, you know, where it's like, go to college, you'll get that job. Like, we all see that you don't anymore. So that the circus barker isn't really doing his job anymore. Like, people aren't going into that as much as, like, I think my generation and a little of the millennials had it the worst because Gen X and baby boomers had more jobs so they could actually pay off have the Buick and the boat and like pay off their debt. But I think like my generation was the beginning of like, wait a minute, what happens when we're out of school? You know?
Right, right.
And so now kids are survivors. So they're just like, and a lot of women are not falling for the hypergamy of the media where it's like they don't want the abortion cubicle life. They want to be with a good man. And there's also a huge population that's just heading towards slaughter, in my opinion, spiritually, emotionally, maybe physically, but there's a lot of good stuff happening too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, we said earlier in the show here that there's a lot of good people who think the right way. They have the right values in place and they need to just stand their ground and don't be swayed by the constant bombardment of conditioning that's put out there. It's just one massive hypnosis machine that they have in play. And you know, the human spirit, the human mind, our DNA is wired in such a way, Owen, that's the reason why they have to continually hit us 24/7 with all of their nonsense.
No rest for the wicked, my man.
That's right. So because they know if they stopped, everybody would regroup and get back to basics.
Yeah, totally. It's like they have to rape us every morning. that's just would be exhausting. And I think the biggest social change of any invention in my life was caller ID. Because that was when you first started being able to screen your environment and not have to be polite. Like, I used to do a bit about that, about how before caller ID, you answered the phone with a lot of hope. You know, you're like, hello? Like, who is it? And no matter who it was, you had to deal with it. And so that's when the lowercase I, the insignificant narcissist iPhone I generation started, is like, I get to decide my environment. And then, you know, we created a million little tyrants, you know?
Yep.
So let's talk Paul McCartney. So I sent you an email about how I had a night with now who I believe, your argument has been very profound. So I do believe it is Billy Shepard. But he was a cool dude, man. I was at the Hollywood Improv. I do a set. It's very musical. I'm making fun of music as mind control. I made fun of all kinds of stuff that a lot of people wouldn't assume. I think I even made fun of Yellow Submarine about how there's almost no chord changes and it's like being in a cult. And so I see it, you know, it's like, we all live in a yellow submarine. I was like, and so then after I'm done, I see a dude stand up. And some of the comics were talking about how Paul McCartney was there, but you never know. It's in the middle of Hollywood. It could be anybody. And it's Paul McCartney. And he comes over and he's like, man, he's like, that was really good, man. And I'm like, oh, thanks, dude. I'm a big fan. He's like, bro. He didn't say bro, obviously. But he was like talking about how funny it was. And then we took funny pictures in the bathroom. Like, he was real goofy. And it was like a really good experience. But looking back, you know, I'm like, he was a little taller than expected. And like, he was, how you've described his state. Because you approach this not as some of these like Alex Jones, everything's falling apart. Like, how you've approached it about how he subtly wants disclosure and what it would be like. You know, you've had some, I'm sure you've had some money in your life with the corporate world. I've had some money in your life, and people like us truly know that money doesn't give you happiness, even though it's sometimes hard to explain that to people living hand to mouth. And I understand that, but like, it really doesn't. So even though he might be worth $100 billion, he's sitting alone in a comedy club with one bouncer, and he's just trying to be a normal dude, you know, and he's like trying to enjoy comedy. And there was something in him that when I was like, when we stopped talking about me and my comedy, and I was like, oh, I'm a big fan, Paul. There was like, I read people for a living, you know, that's what comedians do. And there was just like this little twitch of like, I'm not that. And so I found your stream's very therapeutic for me, because it was like, what is all this? And then to understand Tavis, well, just go on. Tell me some stuff. And then your email where you said that he did actually die, because then I saw that that video that could have been him working at a house or something. And
yeah.
So just give me some info, man. Ladle some gravy.
All right. So the first question I have for you, you're tall. How tall are you?
6'8".
6'8". Okay. So how tall was Billy? Over 6 foot?
I don't know, but he wasn't tiny. It was like, I'm really not the best at judging height, but the original Paul was what, 5'6", 5'7"?
Well, those numbers vary depending upon sources, and I believe this was intentional, Owen. So you'll get numbers between 5'9 and 5'11 for the original biological Paul. Billy, on the other hand, best we can tell, he says in memoirs that he is a few inches taller, like 4 or 5 inches taller than biological Paul. So that would put him at around 6'2". And then when you take a look at pictures of him when he's with his new wife, Nancy. Now, Nancy is listed at 5'10". And whenever you see him with his wife, he's got 2 or 3 inches on her. So he's between 6 foot and 6'2".
Yeah, because the pictures of me and Fall, he doesn't look as short as most people look around me. Because everyone to me is short, you know. But like, when I was, after listening to you about that and looking at the pictures, he was like here, which is like tall. You know, and I was just like, wow. And then the difference in eye, the difference in nose, the difference in shoe size, his sixth toe, his DNA problem or his fingerprint problem in Japan, DNA problem with paternity suits. I mean, it is a different guy. And so this is just some interesting gravy, you know?
Yeah. No, Billy, he's, like I said, in his prime around 6'2". And as you mentioned, you know, he's very different than biological Paul. And, you know, I get emails all the time and people say, oh, how did they find somebody who sings the same way, looks the same way, and so on and so forth. Such a great songwriter and yada, yada. And, but when you look at him and then you look at the actual comparisons between him and biological Paul, they really don't look alike. They have similarities.
And the nose is big. The nose. Like
and the nose.
Yeah,
the nose. And, but so what they did, what Tavistock did, and the apparatus behind the Beatles is they had doubles and lookalikes, Owen, going back to day one. So they all had lookalikes. They all did. Going back to 1962, 63, for sure in 1963 when they released their first album, Please Please Me, in March of 1963.
Yeah.
And so what happened was they have been putting out images of doubles and lookalikes, and they've also doctored pictures, what we would refer to as Photoshop today. They've been doing that for decades.
Yeah.
Decades. And so what's happened is we now have a composite view in our mind of what Paul McCartney looks like, right?
Yeah.
So if I showed you something from the 1960s, you'd say, oh, that's Paul McCartney. Well, how about this one in the 1970s when he's with Wings? Oh, that's Paul McCartney too. He just has a mullet now.
Right.
But if you take a look at the timeline, going back to the very early days through today, you're going to see that it's a very different looking person. Now, Billy is that person in many cases. He did have his face did look different at certain times because he was getting injections with fillers. He was using latex, a lot of latex going into his Wings years and into the 1980s. If anybody's interested, you can go to my channel. I actually have videos showing where, you know, the latex scrunches and he's pulling on it and all that stuff.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but we were also looking at doubles and lookalikes that were sprinkled throughout the timeline. And that was done to confuse everybody. And it was done, like I mentioned, to build a composite view of Paul McCartney. So that would make it much more difficult for somebody to actually see the differences because he was this evolving type of face. It's really quite amazing when you look at it.
Yeah. And then also the operation of Sergeant Pepper, where it looks like the Beatles go through this complete transition. And then you pointed out it makes, because a lot of this does make logical sense if you're looking at it from the point of view of social engineers, where they just put everyone in a disguise.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me of the old Irish fable of how, you know, someone caught a leprechaun and the leprechaun's like, oh, teehee. You know, and he's like, I'll show you where the gold is. I'll put a handkerchief on the tree where the gold is. And everyone's like, okay. And the next day, every tree has a handkerchief. You know,
right.
You're like, and he's like, and that's kind of how our legal system and the upside down inversion works, where they legally are right. You know, like they're showing you, but at the same time, it's preposterously tricky.
Yeah. It's the apparatus that's behind the Beatles and all of these bands, but primarily the Beatles, because they were really the first fabricated band that was deployed by Tavistock to do social engineering and to change the culture and the society. Okay,
yeah.
So the Beatles were really the ones to kick it off. But the point with Sgt. Pepper is what they did was they changed all of the Beatles, starting with Sgt. Pepper, like you mentioned, with the beards, the hair, the costumes,
yeah.
The whole album cover, right?
It looked like they're hiding from cops.
Well, when you look at the Sgt. Pepper album cover, it's a very stunning artistic piece of work. It really is. It really catches the eye.
Yeah.
But if they had just done album covers like they did before Sgt. Pepper, Revolver, Rubber Soul, and stuff like that, and they just brought Billy in, people would look at it and say, well, who's that guy? Well, he's Paul McCartney. I don't think so. So what they did was they changed everybody, starting with Sgt. Pepper. So Ringo had a different look, John had a different look, George had a different look. And so this way, the mind wraps its head around the thought that it's just a different look. The whole band has changed now. It's a different era. It's a different period. And so you go with that. It's what they did, really. When I say they, folks, I'm talking about primarily Tavistock, because the Beatles are a creation of Tavistock. They were never an organic band, ever. What they put out there was really a masterpiece as far as mind control and the ability to shape people's thoughts and their beliefs. It's really quite amazing.
Yeah, and they did this, and you can see the formula that they did the same thing with Miley Cyrus. They'll sell you family and wholesome, and then before you know it, she's gyrating with Beetlejuice, you know?
Right.
And it's the same. It's like they make the youth and the parents be like, oh, okay, you can listen to that, you know, 8 days a week, she loves me, all this stuff. And then before you know it, it's, you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and the hooks are in. And so if it was just the Beatles, I could understand people calling this you know, in the negative way, the pejorative conspiracy theory. But it's so obviously a pattern that I don't even understand the argument that this isn't a creation of mind control, because it's not just Disney kids all end up drug addicts. It's like, that's the path. Like, you get the wholesome, you get the mind hooks, and then you twist and shape once people have committed emotionally to a character. And, you know, some are deep state, Freemasons, Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, that have been groomed since birth. But a lot of them, and I know this personally from my days in Hollywood, are just people that have followed sticks, you know, been the sticks and carrots that just keep guiding you into a place where you might as well just be a slave for the system. And there's a lot of different paths to get there. You know, it isn't all, you know, military. They sent, like, Jim Morrison, I think, was almost like an operative, because his dad was the admiral on Gulf of Tonkin. Like, that's just insane. Right. But then you have some other bands that I think you signed to a record deal. The record deal says, you're doing great, kid, but we got to kill that song about God. You're doing great. And then you slowly just massage them. And when you don't stand your ground, you end up in hell. And these bands are in hell. Like, I know some of these bands personally. And the more, quote-unquote, success they get, the more it's like, hi, my name is Gary. They're just, like, gone. They're not allowed to think for themselves anymore, you know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Going back to what you said before, Owen, it was very perceptive. It's a very subtle process. The system does not bang you over the head and say, you're going to do this. So
exactly.
there are two paths, right? So there's one path where it's bloodline related. So people like Billy are bloodlined. And so they are destined from birth, from early childhood, to wind up in a place where they're going to have a lot of influence and a lot of control over whatever industry, business, or, you know, faction of reality that they're going to be placed in.
Yeah.
Now, the others, like you said, they're not born into it. They're not bloodline. So what happens is the deep state, the machine, is always on the lookout for talent, because they need that talent in order to push their agenda.
Because they can't create. They can't create.
No. So they find people, and then they say, hey, we love you guys. We're going to sign you. You know, we want you to make records. You're going to be a big band and so on. But here's the thing. The more you buy into what they offer, the worse it's going to get. The deeper you're going to find yourself, like, you're going to find yourself in quicksand at some point. That's what's going to happen.
Quickly,
very quickly. And you're going to find yourself in a position where it's going to be very difficult, if almost impossible, to get out of. Now, what a lot of people don't understand, and this is in memoirs, is biological Paul McCartney, James Paul McCartney, and John Lennon, they engaged in a satanic ritual pact back in October of 1963, where they gave their lives for the success of the Beatles.
Yeah, I need more info on that. This is fascinating.
Right. Okay, so in the book, Billy refers to this as death for success. And at the time, they were young guys. Back in 1963, biological Paul was only 21 years old. He was a young man. Now, the question becomes, did he really understand what it is that he was getting into? Because when they do these rituals, it's, you know, they're conducted by priests. And and it's not to say these priests come in dressed like priests. These are people who are, right, they conduct these rituals and these packs. And so they both did this pack back in October of 1963.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 3 years later, biological Paul McCartney, in September of 1966, is gone. He's out of the picture. And John disappeared in 1980. Now, people who think this is crazy need to go take a look at other bands. Just think about this. Other bands where band members left early. We could take a look at Jim Morrison. We could take a look at Keith Moon of The Who, John Bonham of Led Zeppelin, right? Kurt Cobain, the whole 27 Club. Now, I know there are folks out there that believe that these people don't really die, but, you know, the way I approach this is perhaps some of them don't. I don't know. But the thing is, in this Luciferian, satanic ideology and philosophy, what people have to realize is they value death. because death is a transition in their minds, right, according to their philosophy, to a better place, moving on. Okay, so they look at the physical, they don't look at the physical world the way we look at the physical world. They look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Now, I also believe what happens is there are others that sign up and they agree to these rituals and these pacts. I'll call them maybe terms and conditions that are that they agree to. And maybe it's not them that dies, but perhaps it's somebody, a family member. So another example would be, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I mean, it's very suspicious. Eric Clapton lost his son, Connor, when he fell out of a 49-story building, right?
Right.
Billy lost his wife, Linda, at age 56. Now, 5 + 6 = 11. And I don't, you know, maybe some folks aren't familiar with this, but numbers, numerology is very, very important to the occult, to the Freemasons, to the Illuminati, to what I refer to as the pyramid of power. Everything goes and runs by numbers. They paint by the numbers. So I could make a case that it's likely that Billy, even though he's still ticking along, he lost Linda at 56 years old when she died from cancer. The other thing is that a lot of people have misconceptions about is they believe that if it's some kind of an occult ritual sacrifice, that they think they're going to drive a stake through your heart or something. No, what happens is people die. They contract some kind of disease. An accident takes place. There's an overdose. Something that looks like, you know, that's plausible.
Yeah.
But indeed, what happened was their life got truncated.
A lot of bathtubs, though. Whitney Houston, Jim Morrison, a lot of bathtubs.
Right. Right. So this is something that is very difficult for a lot of folks to get their heads wrapped around. It is very dark. There's no doubt about it. And I've had people, write to me, Owen, and say, you know what, Mike, I can't do this anymore. I can't read the book anymore. I love your shows, but this stuff is just too dark. I can't deal with it. But unfortunately, the underbelly of the beast that controls this matrix, this is their philosophy. This is their way of doing things. And, it is dark.
Well, that's important. If you read Sun Tzu, it's like if you only know yourself and not your enemy, you'll lose half the battle. So it's like people that don't look into how Luciferians think, because I don't read these books because I don't like going into those places. But like you have to at least understand the basics of what they believe or else it all appears to be nonsense.
Yes.
And so you can't predict. And if they keep you in a state of lack of prediction or lack of understanding, then you are a slave, you know, mentally. And so this is some dark stuff. But in entertainment, it's mind-blowing, the death around these people. Like everybody, Rihanna's brother just got killed. You know, Jennifer Hudson's entire family. The Venus and Serena Williams lost a sister.
Right.
Bill Cosby, John Travolta, even Joe Biden, two sons and his wife. It's like, I know a lot of people, and I know people that have had tragedy, and I've lost friends in my life and stuff, but the level, I mean, even, what's that dude's name? I was on the show Punked. I'm forgetting his name. Ashton Kutcher's girlfriend gets murdered by a serial killer. You know, who's the dude who was on Cheers and then had his own show?
Woody Harrelson?
No, yeah, Woody Harrelson's dad was a serial killer or a hitman. Not Kramer. What? Frasier. Frasier's mom, dad, and sister were all murdered by serial killers. It's like, guys, this isn't a fake conspiracy theory, you know? And it's not always death that they pay, but they pay something. They always pay something crazy. And as someone who has been approved by the beast in certain ways because of my talent, it is subtle. It is just like here and there. And it's just like what I lost was my jokes. Like I signed terms and conditions where they now own some of my best material. But I fortunately got out because what happened with me is I didn't even know any of this. But when I pointed out that Caitlyn Jenner is not a brave and beautiful woman or like that kids aren't trans, it's almost like this slow methodical dance and everyone just wakes up like, you don't belong here, you know, and you're just like, and then they kick you out because at every point you have, you know, almost like the duality in Freemasonry, where you have the white stone and the black stone, where it's like, do you consent? Do you consent? And for a while, you know, gay marriage, okay, yeah, I consent. I mean, it's what adults want to do. Yo, you consent. It's more consent, more consent. And then if you reach a place where you stand your ground and you say, like, no, my kid isn't going to get that vaccine or something, like, that's when you see it all awaken. And people that you've been in their wedding parties and all this stuff, they're like, you're out of here. And you're like, yep. Wow. And then when you try and tell your story, the media machine is already in place to be like, oh, he's a crazy conspiracy theorist. And you're like, dude, you know me. You just hung out with me. Do you think a four-year-old can have a sexual transition with hormones? You think that's good for their brain? And a lot of people in the beast, in many levels, whether it's corporate or entertainment, they just haven't seen it yet. They haven't had that moment of like, I will die on this hill. And then it all becomes very clear. And so it's good news in a way, because it doesn't mean everyone's going to die. There isn't these hit squads and stuff. It's like the people that die are the ones that agree, whether it's verbally or they sign their name. I don't know how it works, but they get off on that. They get off because they know people have free will. So they love when someone's like, I will do anything for fame. And they're like, you will sign the terms and conditions. And then it's always... It's always Faustian. You know, I did this sketch with Jimmy Fallon and the devil. He's like, yeah, so I want to be the most famous late night host in the world. And the devil's like, you will be, Jimmy, you will be. And you will also be known for being a homo. And he's like, what's that? It's like, you didn't read your terms and conditions. You know, like they'll make someone famous, but then it'll be a mockery. You know, like right. The devil never gives you anything good. It's like McDonald's chicken. You know, you're like, this doesn't make me feel good at all. You know?
Well, and what they do too, Owen, is, you know, they there are people who are very, very compromised. And one of the reasons why they have to go along is because, you know, there is some very embarrassing information that's being retained so that they don't open their mouths. Now, this happens a lot in Scientology.
Yep.
Right? So we have some big names like Tom Cruise and... who else? I'm just John Travolta. Okay, so you know these people are compromised because in a place like Scientology, they gather up everything about you, anything you've ever done in your life, anything embarrassing, good, bad, or ugly, is documented, and so it's you know. It's one of those things where as long as you go along for the ride and you go along with the narrative, you toe the company line, you're going to be okay. But if you step out of line, if you say something that you're not supposed to say, then we're going to come down on you.
Hard. Right? Yeah. And that's why things are really hard. And that's why things are getting so much worse when it comes to sexual perversions and stuff in the world, because I got a theory that a lot of these people, let's say they had Tom Cruise for being gay, right? Because he's gay. That's literally, he cruises. It's a fact. So I think some of these people are almost subtly trying to shift consciousness to be more okay with gay. So if that ever came out, it's not a big of a deal. But then the controllers need more darkness to manipulate. So I think that's one reason why we're seeing this increase in pedophilia shame. The like all kinds of pedophile stuff happening now, and how many people in power are pedophiles, because the gay thing doesn't work as much. It's almost like how they used to be able to use infidelity with women. And now after Clinton and stuff, it's like, well, it wasn't a kid though. Right. You know, so right. They require, it's almost like someone going from coffee to Coke to crack, where now they're like, to get out of bed, they need a crack rock to blackmail somebody. And that's why we're seeing so much of an awakening, because they're running out of steam. They don't like your society needs trust and morality in order to shame it, ironically. So if you are developing this shameless society, which I believe is a lot of the people being blackmailed are secretly making a lot of these movies and pushing this agenda because they want people to accept them. And now we've reached pedophilia. And that's one of those lines where 99 out of 100 people would go to jail to keep pedophilia away from their children. So I don't see them progressing very much anymore on this one.
Yeah. But it is a process of incremental conditioning. And that's what they try to do. They get you, you're at a certain place. And then they say, well, we need them to be over here now. It's like stairs. You're climbing stairs.
Yeah.
So they, what they don't do is they don't take you from the bottom of the stairs to the top of the stairs. What they do is it's step by step. They need this gradual, incremental conditioning and acceptance of what it is that they're putting out there. Unfortunately, what happens is society gets to the point where they almost give up because there's so much out there that they have to deal with. They put so much out there to keep people's noses just right above that waterline, and some people even below the waterline.
Yeah.
That to take the time and energy to step forward and say, no, I'm not going to agree to that. I'm not going to consent to that. A lot of times these people are missing in action because they're buried underneath something else in their life that the machine, the matrix, has created for them to keep them occupied. You see?
Yeah, but don't you think that they've unplugged more from the fear machine, so it doesn't, like, I don't know very many people that watch Fox or CNN at all.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing is it's right now they're trying to get people under the water with debt and with social mob shaming, but even the left I'm seeing is sick of cancel culture. Where I'll read some of these long threads, and someone will be like, can you believe Vince Vaughn was friendly with Trump? And even people on the left are like, can we stop this simulation? Like, this is becoming exhausting, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there are people, like I said, people are waking up to it, and it's what I was saying earlier. I mean, a lot of people who are just a person that was never involved in conspiracy theories, never thought about them,
yeah,
is now seeing that it's getting so bizarre that it's like, we're in a comic book. It's like a big cartoon.
Bizarre world.
Even my father. My father's going to be 85. And I was talking to him the other day, Owen, and it was the whole thing with Iran. And my father, who was a former Marine, he says, because I'm just so sick and tired of all this stuff about war. We don't need to go to war with anybody.
Yeah.
And this is a person that was in the military and for most of his life, bought into this stuff, and here he is now, much later in his years, and saying, "No, this is unnecessary. We shouldn't be involved in any of this stuff." So that is going on. There are people, yeah, like I said, the average person is waking up to the fact that it's just over the top now.
Yeah, and I like how you talked about once about how few there are of them. That gave me some hope one day, where you were talking about how few there are in this parasitic class that requires so much fear and control. And if people just understood that, they're so outnumbered. And I'm not saying that in a violent, like, no uprising violence. You can't shoot evil. You know,
right,
you can protect yourself. I have a lot of guns because of, like, coyotes and stuff. But it's, you know, seeds are more valuable than bullets, in my opinion. But anyway, because humans just get taken over. It's not the person doing it. It is it is like demonic forces. But, like, the amount of people that are willing this to happen is so small, like 1,000, 5,000 people, you know?
Yeah, it's a very small group of people, but unfortunately, they control the institutions, which means they control your media, they control your military, they control your government, they control academia, they control all this stuff. And so it's what we were saying before. So they're able to take something that's very small, an agenda item which is in the minority, and they can make it appear to be something that is very large and something we all need to be concerned about, and that is a big, big problem, when in reality, it's not an issue at all. It never has been, and it never will. The only way for us to get out from under this is what we were saying. You've got to unplug from it. There are, yep, certain basic blocking and tackling things that you can do. We talked about debt, turning the TV off, reinvesting yourself back in your family, your kids, your, yep, friends, doing those types of things, getting back to basics, and that's how their power will be diminished. It's the only way it's going to happen. As long as people are chasing the materialism of the physical world, like you were saying before, bigger house, bigger car, bigger TV, and all this, yeah, stuff, you're playing their game.
Yeah, and it is sin. It's like, that's the thing. It's some of these biblical lessons that were taught is really how they get in. You know, when it's envy, the deadly sins are so true, where it's like, whether you're envious of your neighbor, you're lustful, you know, that'll get you in a compromised situation, your pride, your vanity, you know, covering your body with all these chemicals. It's like, it really is how the debt and the inversion is always put on us. And then, you know, all these fake titles of NASA and the white lab coats and stuff. It's like, that's biblical truth to not elevate man because of their titles given to them by the beast, you know? And these are things that, you know, when I was first persona non grata from Hollywood, like I was reading passages of the Bible, almost like a TV manual where I'm like, okay, so they're doing this. What can I do? Because it was so intense. Because like social shame is more powerful than the threat of death or physical pain. And it's tough to explain that to people who haven't gone through it, but it's like, you know, that's why they've developed, that's why DARPA developed Facebook and all this stuff. It's like all your friends and family, they can get it so they can algorithmically shame mob you and it's not even real. And that makes you feel more pain than if they cut your hand off. And that's real. And so people have to be able to learn how to go through this. It's, and they all, and because of, you know, Google and Operation Kansas and all these folders they have on people, it's like they can almost customize a demon for every person where they're like, what are you scared of? We'll figure out what you're scared of. And then blah, blah, blah. And that's when the humor is so important. And that's one thing that we try to do on this channel is make it funny. Because when you can laugh and when you can take joy and gratitude and some of these crazy things, it really does just spiral the programming. Like my joke about Caitlyn Jenner was, how can Caitlyn Jenner be woman of the year? She hasn't been a woman yet for a full year. And it was like a decade of programming just went, meow, you know, you know, they say Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. Donald Trump is nothing like Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler fulfilled his campaign promises. You know, and people are like, oh, this just broke our conditioning. And it's that quick how that stuff can happen. And that's why they require complete censorship. Because one funny dude and it's all over. Right. That's why the comedy world has been more locked down and satanically controlled. With only the other exception would be music, I think, than anything else. Because you have to control all music, all comedy, or else the conditioning breaks down in like a day. It's crazy.
Right. Well, you could never have George Carlin today, right?
Right. Oh, no chance. Right. But no also, chance. Even then, George was still, you know, like the seven words you couldn't say on TV, it was still kind of serving the decay. You know, like right now, I could say some words you can't say on TV too, and it would be a whole different thing. You know, it'd be about like racist, bigot, homophobe, you know? Back then, it was more like, I respect George and what George did, but it was still breaking down moral structures for the beast. And I think that's why they put him on TV. He was still doing what comedy does. And I loved what Gervais recently did because that was what comedy is. But it's still serving the spider somehow, you know, when he's saying all these words. And I'm like, yeah, but that's still kind of trying to go with the family unit, you know?
But later on in his career, though, didn't you think that I thought that George actually turned around and then he started pointing his comedy at the establishment?
But that's when they stopped putting it on HBO, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you could get their albums and stuff. And when he was talking about their clubs and division and all that stuff, that's when those aren't the bits that were heavily promoted. And I think that when they let people slip in like Carlin, they kind of learned their lesson. It's almost like they're like, you know, no living heroes. They have to control them because, I don't know, because some of the more poignant stuff, it's like Malcolm X. He figured it out at the end, and then, you know, he got shot.
Yeah, and I want to mention one thing. You talked about social shaming, and this is done on Facebook all the time. So for anybody who has Facebook, which is probably everybody out there, there's an app called Facebook Purity, and that's going to allow you to be able to really tailor what it is you see and don't see on Facebook. So you can get rid of Facebook's feed that they want to give you. You can only see feeds from your friends and stuff like that. So the reason why I recommend it is because people aren't watching as much television as they used to. And what's replaced it really is social media, right? People have shifted from watching the television to sitting in front of their monitor or their phone. So you can get apps like that, which really do help to clean things up and to strip out a lot of their junk and their garbage, which they want to pollute your mind with.
Yeah, man. And it's also just, I think they'll require a cud chewing retardation level of society to push what they have now to the point where people couldn't even function. You know, like Iran. Like, I was for Iraq right after 9/11. I fell for the scam completely. And now looking back, I realize what had happened. And now to fall for the Iran scam, I think, is almost not believable. Like, you have to almost be at a really low level of thought to fall for. It's one thing to say two 40-year-old gay men who live together and want states' rights or something and want to get married. I now see what they were doing with that and how nefarious it was. But like a 4-year-old trans kid, like, you have to be in a place where you're almost lobotomized to be like, yep, this is progress. I mean, every day I see 4-year-olds just desperately trying to live as girls. It's like, who can do that? Like, who can go along with, like, they ran out of runway, man. It's like, where do they go from here? They've already degraded, you know, they're cheering for 40-week abortions and lighting up the Capitol red. It's like, they might as well start a Moloch chant. And if anyone thinks that's female empowerment, they're like, are they injecting fluoride into their veins? I just don't know, you know?
What they never talk about, Owen, with the whole transgender agenda, is they never talk about what happens to many of these people years later once they go through the sex change process and all that stuff. They never talk about the mental health issues, and they never talk about the suicide rate.
40%, yeah.
Yeah, they never talk about that. So they always talk about the front end of it. Oh, isn't this great? You know, we should be gender neutral, gender fluid.
Unreal.
Should be able to choose your gender. I mean, I don't know how you choose your gender. Either you have a, you know, your plumbing is your plumbing, you know? But they never talk about the detriment and the hurt that this propaganda and this conditioning has caused these people that drank the Kool-Aid.
Right.
You know, now, I'm not saying that there are not people who have gender confusion issues. This was something that, you know, up until the DSM-5, from 4 back, they recognized it as a valid psychological mental health issue. I think it was the DSM-5 that changed it and said, no, it's not an issue anymore. It's fine. If you think that way, it's normal. But, you know, the problem I have with it is, because especially what I do for a living, is I see what happens when people have trauma.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Mental,
yeah.
Emotional and physical trauma. Okay. There's a price to pay for it. And this is something that these people who are running this charade, that they never talk about.
Well, that's the whole, it's the problem. Salute. What is it? What's the Freemasonic 3 levels? The problem, solution, whatever.
Yeah. Problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah. It's like a lot of the trans thing is from child rape. And it's also, some of them are autistic. Some of them have, it's so dark. And it's so, you know, a lot of these kids that think they're transgender and have gender dysphoria, they're on the autism spectrum and they were sexually abused as kids. And then when they go through with this charade and nothing changes, they kill themselves. And it's a parody of a parody. It's just like, and I don't know how it can continue. I really don't. It's just that's why I think this awakening is happening. And it definitely is. And the beauty is, like, what you were just describing, where it's like, okay, it used to be listed as a mental illness and now it isn't. All that happens is now that group doesn't have any trust from us anymore. You know, if they say the sky is orange when it's blue, I'm just like, I'm just not going to listen to you anymore. And
right.
So I think people are giving up their word, their logos, their reputation is so important. And that's why I can move to DLive and still have 6,000 live viewers, which is mind blowing. But people have to understand that if you just don't lie to people, you have extreme value. Like, imagine if any newspaper, even if they were wrong, they just simply weren't pushing agendas and lying, how many people would listen to them, you know? And that's what I think we're losing. That's what the institutions are losing. And I'm welcoming it. I'm like, fine, don't trust the CDC. Don't trust the FDA. Like, these people, half of them are these Rosicrucian potion guys anyway, you know?
Well, what I tell folks, and I said this to Ole Damegaard going back, I guess, about 2 or 2.5 years ago on a show, and I still stand by it, is anything worth knowing is a lie.
Yep.
Okay? If it's not worth knowing, the controlling apparatus doesn't care. But if it's worth knowing, like our history about the earth, about space, about vaccines, about fluoride. Pick something, the geoengineering that's going on. You could bet your bottom dollar they're lying through their teeth. And so your point about not taking any of it at face value, not believing any of it, is absolutely right. Start with a clean slate and then draw your own conclusions. Do your own research. Do your own thinking. Don't let other people think for you. And this is what a lot of the population has. That's the trap they've fallen into.
Yeah, and also, but here's another piece of advice. If you know someone and trust them, then they can. Like, for example, if I wanted a guitar fixed, I'd go to you. But it's like, it's someone I know. Like, don't trust like an alphabet, or don't trust an institution or a label or a someone with a square on their head. It's almost absurd. But like, the community is important, where if I want to understand more things about flat earth, I'll hit up Dave Weiss. Or if I want to understand something about astronomy or astrology, I'll hit up Crow. Or if I want to know something about the Beatles, I'll hit you up. And that's where it's at, where we can start functioning as our own communities again and use these wicked weapons that they've created to destroy us against, you know, in our favor again, like how me and you can be buddies and we never would have met beforehand, you know. And that's what I think we do, is we use their wicked weapons, you know, because like, just an axe or just a gun isn't bad. Just like, just the internet doesn't have to be bad. We just have to put, stand our ground and put forth that little extra effort, you know?
Right. So the technology, I get asked that question. Oh, Mike, are you saying that we shouldn't have technology because it's fostering this agenda and it's bringing it about? No, it's the intent. It's how it's being used. The technology is wonderful, because if we didn't have it, Owen, you and I wouldn't be talking right now, right?
Or I think might the be earth was a spinning ball still.
Yeah.
I'd be like, wah.
So we got, you know, so the stuff that's out there is not necessarily bad. It's how it's being used and the intent of the technology. Yeah. That's what it's really all about, you know. So if you use it for good things, then, you know, then it's good.
Yeah.
But if you have bad intent, then it's going to be bad. It's like, you know, asking, is electricity good or bad? Well, it depends. If you're sitting in the electric chair, it's probably not very good.
Right, totally.
But if you're in a dark room and you have to turn the lights on, then hey, you know, thumbs up, it's a good thing.
What, is there any other, because I only have 7% of battery, because I made sure I didn't plug it in, because I know I can talk forever and I got a veterinarian coming. I have 3 pregnant alpacas, 5 pregnant goats, and another goat that needs to be okayed. But do you have any more information on the music industry as a whole that people might be interested in? Because I know some people in the chat were saying that Jim Morrison's Rush Limbaugh and all this stuff. What makes you so sure that they do kill these people off? Or is there any other information that you think people would want to know about that?
Well, people do die. So that's the thing, you know. Yeah. So there was this whole thing that got cooked up in the truth movement going back a few years ago, where people don't die, they actually become somebody else. Like Jimi Hendrix became Morgan Freeman and stuff like that. Okay, so I mean, that's it's out there. So my take on it is
Morgan Freeman had his niece killed. Well, I'm not saying he had her killed, but that's another one on the list that we were talking about. Niece got stabbed to death. Just horrible.
Right, so it goes back to what I said before. People die, and these people do enter into packs, and as foreign and as absurd as that might sound to some people who are listening to this, this stuff goes on. The music and the entertainment industry has a very, very dark element to it, okay? And if you want extreme popularity, if you want extreme wealth, fame, and fortune, there's a price to pay for that.
Yeah.
Right? This is not just somebody's because they're really talented. There are a lot of really talented people that haven't made it. And they haven't made it because, you know, they weren't selected or they weren't a bloodline. So, but that's not to say that maybe some of them, you know, don't just retire. I don't know. I really don't know. But based upon the work that I've done, I'm going with the fact that they did die, that there are these rituals and these pacts that take place. And, they, you know, many of them have participated in it.
Absolutely. And people want to know more about Tavistock. Can you just give a brief history of what it was, what it did, and what do you think it's doing now?
Well, Tavistock was actually created in 1921, and their poster child was Sigmund Freud. And then, and, you know, then they really came into the the mainstream as far as their power and their reach in 1947. And Tavistock is in the business of social engineering, conditioning, mind control. And the thing is, you know, they're not walking around looking kind of, you know, kind of slinky and all that. It's a professional organization that has infiltrated everything. So when we talk about your military, academia, the corporate world, they are there and they're teaching and they're shaping the minds of the people that are in positions of power and influence. And this is what they do. They work hand in hand with the CIA, and Tavistock is out of the UK. They work hand in hand with all of the intelligence organizations and with the military industrial complex. And it's all tied in. It's one big ball of wax. And Tavistock reports up into an organization called the Committee of 300. And the Committee of 300 are 300 people, select people, all bloodlined, that are responsible for what goes on in this world operationally. They're the ones that are formulating the strategy and then putting that strategy into play. In other words, executing that strategy, and they farm that work out. They delegate it out to the organizations underneath them, one of them being Tavistock. So, I mean, that's a real quick overview. If you go on their website, you're going to read a lot of really nice things about Tavistock. You're going to think, well, they don't look so bad. But, you know, but the thing is, when you do deeper research and you find out everything that they're involved in, which is, again, it's mind control, social engineering, understanding the human psyche, psychological operations. That's what the business at Tavistock is in.
Do you think they think they're doing good?
I think that they are doing what they are supposed to do based upon their philosophies and their ideologies. So what I mean by that, Owen, is that within the pyramid of power, that's where Tavistock sits, that's where the Committee of 300 sits, they have a vision and a strategy and a philosophy about what this world is supposed to look like. And so they all agree and shake on the fact that, okay, so let's go implement this. Now, within the pyramid, there are factions that don't agree with each other. So that's the thing that we have to understand. Each one is kind of vying for position. But at the end of the day, they all want the same thing at the very top of the pyramid, right? What is that? It is a Luciferian age, all right? Bringing back what I have referred to as the cult of Dionysus. And if you take a look and research the cult of Dionysus, you're going to see that a lot of the attributes and characteristics of that cult are in play today. Androgyny, homosexuality, revelry, drinking, promiscuity. This all comes in under the cult of Dionysus. Okay. So that is what they are working towards. So I don't think that they actually think too much about us, to be honest with you. I think that they look at us as, right, we have to be managed and we have to be steered in a certain way. And people might say, well, why don't they just get rid of us? Because reality is created based upon your consciousness and your thoughts. And they need to harness the consciousness in order to harness thought and to manifest reality. That's why. That's why they spend all of their time trying to condition us and steer us. Because when they can do that, then they can manifest their objectives and their agenda. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, because if not, they could just get an island and cut their wieners off and have orgies all day. Like, for some reason, they want us to approve it.
Well, yeah, right. And that's because they need to harness the consciousness, because your consciousness, the spiritual aspect of you is energy, and it's a very powerful energy. And this is what they want to do. What they do is they manipulate two aspects of you, your physical and your spiritual. The physical manipulation occurs through things like commerce, spending money, buying concert tickets, buying all kinds of crap that people buy. That's playing into their system of physical control. The spiritual control is the manipulation of your thought and your consciousness. Because, again, I know I sound like a broken record, but your thoughts create reality. And they need that energy in order to create the world and the environment that they want. And,
so we're
and that's
like
why
batteries.
It's very important
we're like,
for people
we're like
to shut
batteries.
It down.
We're like batteries to them.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, and how powerful a battery do you want? Well, you want the most powerful battery that you can get your hands on. And that's why they are engaged in, you know, mass conditioning and mass hypnosis to get people steered in a particular direction. Most people, they're always going to have the outliers. You and I, and probably many of the folks listening to you are the outliers. But relative to the general population, we are a very, very small minority of people. Okay? It's getting larger, but the number of people who actually critically think and free think, it's very small.
Yeah.
And so they're still able to steer most people.
But they require trust in institutions. Like, that's what a vampire is. You know, it's a timeless, never dying, blood sucking entity that you must invite across your doorway. You know, so when you have NASA, public schools, military, all these corporations, Kellogg's, like, the more people don't trust in these vampires, the more free their mind can be, and the less that we battery them. And that's the thing. They don't come and kick in your door. They need this. Because if they force you into prison and you still don't comply, they're kind of effed. Because they hate martyrs. They hate, like, that, because every action they do is showing their tyranny like that. They want to just keep, it's how Google is. It's like, you want a massage, you want candy, you want money, and just, yes, that's how the battery charges. And if you don't give them the charge, they shrink. It never goes away. The mold is always there, but it's like, don't feed your gut biome sugar, you know?
Right. The thing is, charge your own battery. That's the thing.
Right.
Right. And it goes back to what we said much earlier. You have to get back to basics, folks. You've got to get back to what really makes you happy in life. If you're buying a TV and all this stuff, does it really make you happy? Spend time with your family. Spend time with your children. Spend more time with folks that you really get along with, like-minded people. And do the things that are outside the matrix. You know, instead of going to a bar and getting yourself shit-faced, go do something more productive. Go get a hobby. Go find some other interests. Go read a book. Go do some stuff that really takes away from what it is they want you to do. They want you to sit in a bar. They want you to get shit-faced. They want you taking drugs. They want you watching pornography. Because when you're doing all that stuff, they've got you under control. They've got you under their thumb, plain and simple.
Exactly. That's why I quit drinking 6 months ago, because I didn't like act crazy when I was drunk. I just like being a little unpredictable to the beast. And I also want to be as responsible as I can to my children. You know, we got a third coming. That's another thing. It's like, have a family. They want to take your gratitude. They want to take everything that matters and make it sterile, you know, and don't give it to them because they need your consent. And it's like, you know, that's just the reality. Where can people find you, Mike? I'm at 3%.
Okay, yeah. You can find me. Just go to Sage of Quay, SageOfQuay, SageOfQuay.com. That's my hub website, Owen. All of the links and platforms are there, and you can go wherever you need to go find my work.
Great, man. Thanks for coming. Would you be down to do more in the future if people...
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, love it, man. Great work. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, Owen.
Later. All right, guys. I only got 3% more left. What'd you guys think? He's great, huh? Tavistock. And that's the thing. If people have any issues with any single thing he says, or, oh, well, he doesn't say, that's why you don't put your faith in man. Just, he's smart. He's good. He's awesome, you know? And save your emails. Because every person I have on, there's someone being like, well, he didn't specifically say that you must. If you, like, instead of paving the world, just wear shoes. You know what I'm saying? So, he is smart, honest. He's got a great message. You know, soak it in, soak up the gravy. And everybody doesn't have to comply with what you believe in, you know? Hey, let me open up my treasure chest. That's why I want to get off a little bit to make sure that you guys get your lemons. All right, any questions in the chat before I get out of here? Yeah, Sage of Quay is awesome. Mike is a legend. Yeah, good vibes. Mike was speaking my language. Yeah, and you know, if you don't agree with everything someone says, you don't even need to verbalize it. Just take what you like and leave what you don't. Instead of paving the world, just wear shoes. It's about tax income. Well, someone wrote in the chat when we were talking about, oh, I'll unplug my TV, but I'll still get raped on taxes. The reason you're getting raped in taxes is because before you didn't unplug your TV. Do you not understand how time works? All right, unauthorized.tv, unbearablesmerchandise.com. Subscribe to this. Did we break 18,000 subscribers yet today? Any specific questions? Tavistock is pushing Global Homo 4. Yeah, but, you know, they can try. He's so calm. Yeah, he's super calm. Like, he's a hypnotherapist. Great. Get BB Sage the Legend. Yeah, he's just great. I quit drinking, but it's okay to make your own. Well, you know what it is. You know, if you enjoy making wine or you enjoy, like, a certain thing of wine or homemade beer or having a beer after a long day of work with a buddy, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about escapism and sobriety, you know? If you just go, if your energy goes to a bar and getting hammered and being dehydrated, not being the best you can be, love you, Owen. Have a good day. Yeah, Ched Santa has it right there. Yeah, that guy gets it. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. Right. And don't be a narcissist. You know, a narcissist says, I don't like how he didn't specifically say it's because of Jesus Christ. It's like, okay, then you go find that. You go to your little Zionist church and you have everyone say everything that you need to hear exactly. And in the meantime, me and the bears will be crushing and high five. Oh, new mountain bear. I think with 3%, I have just enough time to play it. 1 second. Mountain Bear's new video is hilarious. It's already been demonetized, but he finds that very funny. Mountain Bear's a legend. Mountain Bear. We have 3%. I think we got it. Oh, here we go. It's called Bike Thieves Disgust the Jews. Hang on 1 second. This is from a real video. Hang on. We download it. We got 3%. Tomorrow I'll have some great gravy for you. But again, I'm so fortunate to have that Mike was so down to come on. The guy is a fucking legend, guys. I don't know if you know who Mike is, but I'm quite honored that he came on. He's a legend. You know, people don't understand what real legends are these days. Like, so can you get on Vince Vaughn or Tom Cruise? It's like, no, I got on Sage Aquay. All right, this is called Bike Thieves Disgust the Jews. Like, that dude, he makes his own guitars. He's a hypnotherapist. Dude's a legend. Father, husband, crusher. All right, check this out. Truth teller.